Mr. Weekly Scraps. You don't need a map. GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling. It ain't
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps. We got some guests in the house. We got Naseem Sadikov, the Black Wolf.
What's up?
Mr. Diddy Bop, Gaming Center, Mr. Come Forward. And then, of course, we got the Cannon, Dennis Bazookia, in the building. Dennis the Great, also Dennis the Late.
The great late one.
Coming off of a big win at Atlantic City, man. What's up, man? We got Fight Week coming up. This is crazy. Yeah. I feel like the whole team is on a bit of a run right now, and this is just amazing energy going into this fight. We got everybody out here right now, and it just feels like Long Island and Sin City. Love it.
Yeah, we're taking over. Very New York in the house.
Very New York energy.
It's been good, man. Thanks you guys for coming out. Obviously, Dennis, for you, because you just fought, came back out here helping me for my fight, and it's almost game time, man. We got a couple more days before we step into that cage, and I got to release that rage. Jake, what we got for the main card? I think the first fight of the night is like Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt.
If you are a pro athlete wanting to build your personal brand and merchandise collection, use my code ALJO at Athlete Studios website to get yourself a design credit for $5,000 to build out and invest in your logo and your merch designs. Tell them I sent you. Check this out. UFC 300 right around the corner. Go to Athlete Studio. Tell them I sent you. Promo code ALJO. See you guys soon.
That's crazy for
that's
the first fight.
That's crazy. That's a headline on a fight night.
Word, bro. Two former champs. It's crazy for the first fight.
I feel like the majority of this card could be headliners for, like, fight nights. The majority.
Dana said that, too.
This is the early prelims, starting off with Cody versus Figueiredo.
First fight in the night. It's crazy. I don't know. This one's a good one. I mean, of course, you got the former champ in Figueiredo, and you got the former champ in Cody Garbrandt. Garbrandt's, what is he on, like a two-fight win streak now or three? I know he knocked out Kelleher recently, but then the other two were two decisions.
He's on a two-fight win streak.
Two-fight. So this is a big step up for him, and then for Figueiredo, man, he just beat Font. For him, if he beats him, this is going to be crazy. But if Cody beats him, he's back in that conversation of just, you know, he's back. The new form of Cody Garbrandt is back, and the old version, I should say, is back. But this is an interesting fight. I don't really know how to call it. I think Cody's been looking good in the room, so it should be an interesting one.
I'm signing with Cody, man. I love a comeback story, you know. And he's respectful to you. You know, when I see him at the PI, like, talking to you, he gives you your respect. So
we used to have so much. We used to have a little beef back in the day.
Yeah, some internet beef.
Shit. But yeah, we all good now.
No love beef with everybody, though.
No love used to beef with everybody, son. So sometimes I used to feel like I need to go bad boy on his ass. I don't know if you... No, Diddy.
Are we getting into that today? I hope not. But shit, if we do, it is what it is.
You ever see that that skit with Dave Chappelle where he's playing Diddy? And he's like, I need y'all to go out there to Brooklyn and get me some the finest Cambodian breast milk.
And then, I didn't see that, but I haven't trust seen me, there's a lot of viral clips right now.
Hilarious, bro. And he just starts dancing like, bad boy, baby.
That's Dave Chappelle, he said?
Dave Chappelle, yeah.
That's the GOAT right there.
Yeah, it's crazy because he says not to watch his shows anymore, but I always want to watch his shows because it's just funny as hell. It's classics, but it's like, if you really support me, don't watch anymore. I'm like, damn, but these are so good, Dave. I don't know. But this is an interesting one. I don't know which way I'm leaning. But I am pulling for Cody. Obviously, we trained together a couple of times, and we see each other every day now. So it's very, very different. With the relationship, we kind of say we have a little bit more of a professional and friendly rapport, so to speak. Very insightful. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just I can't take us seriously with these shades on. Yeah.
But we got the eclipse coming up, bro. We got to be prepared, guys.
Preparation for the eclipse.
Okay, go to sleep with the shades on.
Huh?
What about Figueiredo?
What about Figgy? I think he's tough, man. He's got a cool style, but I think Cody got some really good looks. on that style that he brings with the hand down, like, and I think he got some good imitation looks for that, and he's done a good job. One of the things I like about his camp, his last few camps, is he's been doing it more concise, more focused on him, kind of like that boxing style we always talk about having, kind of like an Ilya Topuria, the way O'Malley does it, Henry, the way he was doing his, so you know. And I think that's more of what we're starting to see. He got his wrestling coach, he's got his striking guy, the game plan breakdown stuff, they break down film, they break down after sparring, stuff that you should be doing as a professional athlete if you want to grow, especially for specific opponents. You're not just going out there just doing random shit. Like, in the off season, cool, but not in a fight camp. You should be, like, focused on certain specific things that you want to get better at, that you want to capitalize on. So when you're in there, it's just, like, staying sharp.
I agree, man. This game is high-level chess, not checkers. And it's with the human body, bro, with extreme consequences. So, yeah, like you said, I love what he's doing, too. And I love also when he's walking out, like, through the doors. He has the guys clapping on the side as they're walking out, playing his walkout music. I think that's good for the mind, you know. You're familiar with it when the time comes.
He's doing mock weighing, like mock fight.
Think about how much support and motivation that is when you're cutting weight, too. Because they're literally standing around and clap and pray for you. I've seen several camps do that. That's so big, I think. And I think that's such a boost in something as tough as cutting weight.
Yeah, but for him, we're talking about like his actual fight camp when he's preparing. So he's doing sparring days at the PI, and they're actually doing the walkout with the music and everything. His guy's in the cage, he's walking out, and he's doing the whole thing. Yeah. And I think that's what Dennis and I are talking about. Like, he's actually putting himself in that fight mindset every single time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that makes a big difference.
I think that's huge, but for the mind, you know, which this game is not even 90, but 100% mental.
Yeah.
So that was actually pretty impressive to see that. And I wonder how that's going to pay off for him.
And then after they spar, the coaches all sit with him. They all break down stuff he does well, did well, could work on, or position, like just reviewing, recapping. I just think that's just constant reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't see a lot of that in the sport, man. I think that's very critical.
I think that comes with the evolution of the sport, too.
Yeah.
That, because it's a fairly new game, fairly new sport. And then with new ideas coming out, you know, you find what works for you. But I think that's very crucial.
And we all know how to fight.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. But it's like the little things that help. And then having little things. Let me not even call it, because I'm underplaying. The big things is like the small details.
Right.
And I think that's what makes a difference.
Yeah, the devil's in the details, man. And that's the difference between amateurs and professionals, I would say. And then the elite of the professionals.
Thanks.
And that 1% better mentality, that's where that comes. The mic?
Yeah. Yeah, there.
Closer?
Yeah.
Like that? That 1% better mentality, 1% better every day, that's what it comes down to, I think. Exactly.
I agree.
What you guys are talking about. So. Even if you completed your 70, 80, 90% potential, that 1%, there's always that 1% that you can get better. So I think that applies to this.
I'm taking Cody.
Yeah.
I'm going Cody.
I'm thinking, how does he win, though? If it's not an early first round knockout, then I think, I don't know if he's knocking him out, right? Unless he kick, I don't know, maybe.
I think Cody can score more with more activity.
Yeah.
More footwork, scoring.
What do you guys think about him mixing in his wrestling?
I think that's going to be key. He's going to have to do that.
I was about to say I would like to see that in this fight with Cody.
I think he will do that, and I think that's going to be a difference maker in this, and hopefully he can sustain that pace. And if he could do that, because he's a good wrestler, if he could do all those things, I think he should fairly, I don't want to say easily, but he should decisively win a decision at the very least.
Yeah, there's a path to victory for him with that.
But we'll see. That's my pick. I got Cody. I don't know who you guys rocking with.
Yeah, I'm leaning with Cody.
Cody by decision.
I think decision too, yeah.
Decision. Yo, this is gonna be a long card to break down. We can't break down all these fights.
Yeah.
They just got some really good ones on here, though.
Bobby Green and Jim Miller.
Jim Miller. I think he was on UFC 100, 200, and now 300.
Yeah, that's what a legend, bro.
That's crazy.
The longevity of his career is insane.
This test of time is Jim Miller. But I don't know. Bobby Green, he loses the last one, no?
Yeah, Jalen Turner. He got knocked out bad. That was filthy.
That was
a little rough.
That was
Yeah, 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 yeah.
in December. And Jalen took it out on short notice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, stepped up. Big win for him. Yeah, I don't know. Bobby, it depends on what Bobby's mindset is. I mean, Jim Miller's not the power puncher, right? He's not going to be the guy coming in and rock him, sock him. Yeah.
Is he not the power puncher? He's
no, he can hit. People don't get me wrong. Yeah. But he's not going out there, I'm looking to stay in here and trade. He's looking to take you down, grind out a win, or submit you.
Miller?
Miller.
I don't think that's wrong. I just think that there's different Millers. Like, across 40 fights, we've seen different Millers. We've seen a Miller that just knocked out, like, a few prospects recently, like, out cold. And he was actually, like, forcing exchanges on purpose. So, I don't know, maybe...
Did he knock out a...
Yeah. This is last year.
I think Nick Fiore, maybe? No, I forget the dude's name, bro. He took the fight short notice, though, and Miller knocked him out cold.
Yeah, point is, Miller's got some power in his hands, and I don't think he wouldn't try to put them on Bobby Green. But I think it's possible that he's going to wrestle, too. Miller's well-rounded.
So, Jim Miller, his last two fights, he won with a left hook and uppercut in the first round, 23 seconds in, against Jesse Butler.
Mm.
And then his last fight, he won via rear naked choke in the third round, against Gabriel Benitez.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's very well-rounded. He's got the subs. He's got the wrestling. He's got the KOs.
Actually, his last four wins were five wins were finishes.
Wow.
Yeah, but who's Jesse Butler? The heck?
He took a short notice.
It was a short notice, I remember. Yeah. I think it was even maybe a 45 or something.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, looks like there's many shades of Millers, Miller
yes.
lights.
Yes.
What kind of Miller we're going to get for this one, I don't know.
That's an interesting matchup. It's two veterans, too. A lot of experience between both of them.
Yeah, and imagine him getting ranked again. Dude, there was a time he should have fought for the belt, then they gave him Nate Diaz, and Nate Diaz choked him out. It was nasty.
Mm.
Caught him in a guillotine. But before that, he was destroying everybody. I think he was like on a 6 or 7 fight win streak. Should have possibly gotten a title shot, and then they gave him Diaz.
Yeah, I don't think any of it is impossible.
I'll lean Jim Miller for that fight.
Jimmy?
Jim. Especially Bobby Green coming off a really bad knockout.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And Miller having looked as good as he has recently, and Bobby Green more on the 50-50 side, I would say Miller.
Yeah. Pull this down, because I want to make sure everyone can see your face. You know what I mean?
There we go.
Yeah. And just to rotate it up.
Yo, Jake.
Yeah, like that.
No, you got it.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's not too close?
No, that's I think that's perfect. Okay. You can see your face better. I'm leaning with Miller on this one, too. I think that knockout makes things very unique for Bobby Green. I don't know if he's going to be able to... I'm not saying Jim is going to come out there to knock his ass out, but I think maybe the confidence,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe he's saying, Father Time catching up to Bobby.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen Bobby in the position on the losing end of a KO recently, and we've seen Jim Miller on the winning end of KOs and finishes recently. So just from that alone, just the trajectory of their careers, I think Miller's definitely coming in with the momentum on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
But Bobby Green is going to do his thing, though. You know, he's going to do his thing. He always does his thing. You know, he boxes, he moves. He's always slick. He's always dangerous. He's knocked out Grant Dawson recently, too.
Yeah.
So, like...
But skill-wise, who do you think is better? Overall, skill-wise.
I think Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think so. I don't know. We haven't
seen his grappling.
It's just so different, dude. Like because Bobby Green actually boxes, whereas Jim Miller is like a hammer. He punches. He comes forward and he punches. Puts his chin down and punches. So he's tough in that he can take a hit and give a hit, whereas Bobby Green actually comes out there and tries to style on you and box you and all that.
Yeah, I'm going with Miller.
After all that analysis, I put so much into Bobby Green on that one, and then
boom. I just think that style, trying to keep your hands down after you've been touched on the chin a couple of times, I think it's going to be a little bit tough for him to do that, because I think maybe he could leave some openings for Jim to take him down, and Jim's got really good calf kicks.
Yeah, he killed really Dustin. Calf, with them.
Yeah, I thought he was about to upset Dustin Poirier in that fight. He was on his way to finish him. I was like, man, if Dustin takes any more calf kicks, this fight might be over.
Yeah.
And he came back and was able to win the decision.
That was in Brooklyn, actually. I think I've seen that live.
Close fight, man. I'm thinking, like, why did they make this matchup? And then Jim Miller showed, like, yeah, I'm a dog still. Don't forget that.
And that was then he was showing that he's still a dog. So the fact that he's still doing it now is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and then Poirier went on to fight for the belt. So imagine if it changed, what would have happened? Kind of crazy. Yeah, the sport is crazy.
Sport really is crazy.
You just never know.
I'm gonna skip around. So there's Jalen Turner versus
Renato Morgano wants some money.
Renato is coming off a fight that was in February.
Okay.
And he beat Drew Dober by unanimous decision.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jalen Turner is.
Wasn't that the card you fought on?
He beat Bobby Green by knockout.
2023?
Yeah. February. No, 2024.
Who was on the card?
You're talking about 2024, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was recent. He fought Drew Dober.
Yeah,
in February.
Renato Moicano fought him in February and beat him.
Yeah, that was really recent.
No, I'm saying, weren't you on that card? I thought you were on that card.
No.
Oh, you haven't fought yet this year?
No, bro.
Oh, shoot.
No.
Oh. Damn.
No.
Living in the past.
Coming soon, bro. I'll tell you that. We got fight news on the way.
Let's go.
Nice.
I'll tell you that. That's for sure. We got a name and everything. We're just locking in a date.
That's a good fight. That's a hell of a fight. Jalen Turner's on fire right now. Moicano. I am a little bit concerned about Moicano, though, in the chin. Because it looked like he got touched a little bit from Dober. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But Dober can crack, though, right?
Yeah.
But Jalen can also crack. So, I don't know.
I got Jane Turner in that one.
You think? I wonder who's the favorite.
Let's
see who the upset is. Moicano's with my guy, Oren. Oren, I love you. I don't know. I'm leaning towards Jalen on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Moicano can't win because I think he's got great jiu-jitsu. If he can get Jalen down, that was Favola's path against Jalen Turner.
Yeah.
If he can get Jalen down, and I think Moicano's got better jiu-jitsu than Favola, respectfully, Favola, I love you. But I think Favola would admit that as well. I just think that's Moicano's way to victory. If he goes out there trying to strike with Jalen, man, I think he's going to get touched up.
Yeah, it's bad.
I agree with that. I think his path to victory is the wrestling, but I think Jalen has evolved his wrestling and grappling since
then.
Yeah, so I think even with the fact that Moicano has a huge advantage with the grappling in this fight, I still think Jalen's going to come prepared. So I do think it's going to be a stand-up fight on Turner's end, trying to keep it standing versus the Moicano who's going to be shooting, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's going to look.
I think Moicano's better at, like, body lock stuff. I don't know if it's takedowns, like leg attacks. I don't think it's that clean.
I got the odds here. So Jalen's a minus 238 favorite, and Moicano's a plus 195.
Damn, that's a big difference.
Plus 195.
That's a big difference.
Sleeping on Moicano.
They sleeping on Moicano, who wants the money. Well, if I'm Moicano, you got to take that ass down, but you can't run into those punches and those kicks.
Yeah.
It's
going to be hard to close that distance on Turner because he knows how to use it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when he fought for Vola, I was like so nervous. I was like, oh my God, this is such a scary fight. Yeah.
I'm 6'3" southpaw.
Yeah, it's like, yo, bro, for real? Come on, son. It's like, damn, Shelby, give our guy some love.
Yeah, give him a break, man.
Yeah, give us like someone who's like 5'9", our height. But that's I'm leaning towards Jalen. I think Jalen's coming into his own right now. He's on fire right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you guys have?
Jalen.
Okay, unanimous Jalen. How about Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison?
I don't know, dude.
I can't speak on that fight.
Kayla Harrison has to make weight first. Kayla, respect to you, my girl. Olympian, you the best. But right now for MMA, coming down to 135, I got questions. And they need answers. We'll see how she looks when she steps on the scale on Friday. And I think we kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I think if she can make the weight properly, I mean, I think she could track Holly Holm down, I would imagine. But I don't know.
Holly's been in the game for so long, man. She's an OG, but I don't know. I haven't seen, like, a hungry, sharp Holly recently.
She's, like, 40 years old now. Or 41.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Tough fight. Kayla making her debut. Holly's good striking.
Kayla's a plus, or, Holly's a plus 325 underdog.
Kayla's that's a minus insane. I did not expect those odds.
I'm about to drop the bags. I know. I don't bet on fights, guys. Nice.
So...
I don't bet on fights.
Do you think that's Holly Holm is being way too overlooked because of the weight cut? Or if you factor in the weight cut? Because that's what people are saying.
Well, if you factor in, yeah, I think the weight cut's got to matter.
Is this Harrison's first time making one? What is it, 135?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's her first time?
And her UFC debut. There's a lot of things and going against her. And UFC 300. Yeah. UFC 300. UFC debut. First time making 135.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You just never know. I don't know. I don't really know their skill sets too well to really pick a fight.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know Harrison well enough to even make a prediction on this. I just know that Holly has been in the game for a long time. She hasn't looked the same in my eyes. But I don't know, just from a fan standpoint, I'm for Holly. I don't really know. I can't say I'm a Kayla Harrison fan, but who wins the fight? Don't know.
Don't know either, yeah.
I think she takes Holly down, the fight's over.
Yeah.
I mean, you even saw the fight when she fought that Brazilian girl, Myra. She called her that choke.
Oh, yeah, the ninja choke.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where it just seems like she doesn't put a lot of time and emphasis into her technique. And maybe I'm completely wrong and she just can't figure it out, right? But I have a hard time believing that you're going to make those grappling mistakes over and over. And obviously, she's not getting ninja choked every single fight. But I think of grappling, I mean, you got the Misha Tate fight, you got that one. And I think there was some other ones where she was kind of just out-positioned, out-grappled.
Mm.
And Holly's, I think she's decent in the clinch. I just think when it comes to, like, wrestling, she just, I don't know.
Yeah. I can see that. But I don't have a prediction.
Jigoka,
How about Sadiq Yusuf and Diego Lopez?
Ooh, that's an interesting fight.
That's a cracker, my man. That's a cracker.
That's a sick fight.
Oh. That's a step up for Diego.
This is a huge step up for Diego. I will tell you that. Yeah. I don't know which way this one is going to go. You look at Diego Lopez, who comes in and raises a hat on fire. And Sadiq Yusuf, you know, kind of lost his last one, eh? Yeah.
Oh, Danilad, it's not a step up in competition because he's fought Moussaf Evlev in his debut, lad.
Yeah.
And it was a short notice replacement, lad. He was a short notice fight. And he put on an impressive performance.
Yeah. 50 G's.
Oh, me, lad, that was great. That was a great one.
Sadiq Yusuf lost his last fight.
You guys are fucking good at this.
Oh, me, lad, that was fucking great, lad. I've never seen anything like it, lad. Chucking up arm bars and triangles and all that from the back. Impressive.
Sadiq Yusuf lost his last fight to Edson Barbosa.
That was the fight.
In a half, bro. Yeah. Shit. I thought Sadiq was getting him out of there in round one.
Yeah, that was crazy, man.
Whatever Diego does, he can't exchange with Sadiq.
You think so?
I don't think he should. I absolutely don't advise that he exchange with Sadiq. I think Sadiq is the guy that is, like, more most of the time successful in the pocket. He's one of the best, like, in the pocket fighters.
Yeah.
So, at least exchange with him just puts you in a 50-50 position. It's either, you know, like, if you can try to catch him if you have the power, but he definitely has the power.
He slowed down pretty good, too, I thought, against Edson.
Yeah.
He did. I would lean Diego this fight, if I'm being honest.
Ooh. Yeah, slight lean Diego.
You think there's an upsurge in the prospects coming through?
Diego's a -142 favorite.
I could see that. -142? It's a little high, I think, but I think Diego should pull it off. I think so. I think he just, with the grappling factor, too.
Has Yusuf fought any grapplers before? Well, he lost to Bryce Mitchell, no?
I think he lost
to Bryce Mitchell. If he lost to Bryce Mitchell, then that's not looking good.
Yeah. Did they fight?
I'm not seeing that fight.
Sadiq, right?
He lost to Arnold Allen, Edson Barbosa, and Luis Gomez.
Mm.
The rest are wins. Luis Gomez, that wasn't even in the UFC. So
he didn't fight Bryce?
Nope.
Because you don't see his name.
Nope.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight, but Sadiq slowed down a lot with that Barbosa fight. I don't know what happened there.
So then we don't actually know what his grappling really looks like then.
Yeah.
So, makes things interesting. I don't know. I can't really say if it's Diego or... Yeah, I can't say. I don't know. I fuck with both of these guys.
Same, but I'm literally thinking it's like 52-48 Diego. That's how I would say it.
52-48?
Yeah, like, I mean, out of 100. Like,
oh, percent. I was like, what are scorecards of those?
It's my own...
your own metric.
Yeah, my own metric.
Why,
we got to train with him.
Huh?
Why?
Why what?
Why do you feel like it leans toward Diego?
His jiu-jitsu is really dangerous, and I think that's his path to victory with Sadiq.
And he also has the range on the feet, too. He is taller.
Bro, he's been looking good in the stand-up, too. He
knocked out Sabatini.
Right. So yeah. Like these are all big moments, big mm-hmm. wins.
But he threw Sabatini on the ground.
Did he?
And he finished him on the ground.
But he rocked him.
But he rocked him. He dropped him. I know that for sure.
I remember he hit him coming in, and then they got into a clinch, and then he hit him with like a Uchimata kind of throw, and then from there he just kind of put it on him, and that was the fight.
Who did he put away then? I think Diego Lopez definitely put somebody away.
It was Sabatini. Sabatini on the ground. Was the last he finished with the ground and pound, yeah. And then he also submitted Gavin Tucker the night I fought in Nashville.
I remember that.
With the flying like triangle armbar.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's doing very impressive stuff. Yeah. Very impressive stuff.
Yeah.
Next up would be...
No.
Oh, my bad.
We got to train with him. I felt like he honey-dicked us, man. I'm not
What's honey-dicked?
Like...
What does that mean?
I felt like Diego honey-dicked us. And the training... I felt like he was just not really trying.
Yeah.
I felt like he was... I don't know, man. I was like, this is cool to have him here, but I was like... I felt like it, man. Some stuff were bothering him, but this was a couple months ago. But I was still like, damn, dog. I was like,
Do you think that was? Why do you think that is?
Because there's like certain positions you just fight for a little bit more, and I just feel like he wasn't really trying.
I'm saying, what do you think his perspective? Like, why would he come and train like that?
I think he was maybe a little banged up or something, and he just wanted to kind of just go through the motions, get a sweat in, get a little decent workout.
Oh, you took that offensively.
I didn't take it offensively. I was kind of like, I was a little let down because I was like, damn, I want to feel the dog in him.
Yeah, pause. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to give away.
That's what we were saying too. Yeah. But I'm like, we're not fighting anytime soon. You know, so I was just like, this would be cool to have a cool training partner, very good jiu-jitsu. I'm competitive in jiu-jitsu, so I want to feel. Mm. I was like, I want to see how good my jiu-jitsu is. And not like a dick measuring contest, but just kind of gauging where I'm at in my career.
Of course.
Against a guy who predominantly loves BJJ as much as I do. Because then it's like wrestling jiu-jitsu versus a pure jiu-jitsu practitioner. Mm-hmm. You know, hitting flying triangles, flying arm. Like, he hits all those crazy shits. I don't hit any of that, but it would be nice to see how my style ranks up with that.
Right.
But I felt like in the exchanges, it wasn't really like...
Yo, Aljo, I'm sorry to interrupt, bro. You look like you're from Bed-Stuy.
I am from Bed-Stuy, my boy.
Bro, with the whole fit.
I am from Bed-Stuy, my boy. I do. Yeah, but I it was good training still. Like, he gave us a, you know, but no matter how I say this, is gonna come off weird, right? But I'm just like, it was just, I just felt he would have given us a little more.
Maybe he was being respectful.
And maybe it was that. Maybe he was being respectful. Or maybe he was just hunting the dick in us and just wanted to see what we got and didn't want to show what he got. I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, this is not making me feel like we're cool, if that makes sense.
He has a nice little turnaround, too. Diego, he lost on Contenders, actually.
Yeah, to Brito. Yeah.
So he has, like, a nice turnaround.
To Brito. He fought Brito on Contender.
I got to watch that fight again. Yeah. Because that had to be crazy.
And so the first round was crazy, but Brito kept poking his eyes, and then they stopped it, and it went to technical decision. And then Dana still signed Brito of that.
That's weird.
Which was crazy.
That's weird things crazy, that happen bro. On Contenders.
You want to get signed on Contenders? Be Joe Piper.
Yeah.
Or poke the eyes out. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, it was insane.
Pick and choose, man. Damn. Yeah, but it was fun training with him. It was cool. I was hoping to have him down a little bit more, but then his team actually came out, so he's been training with those guys mostly, and I didn't want to, like, interrupt any of his stuff. Because, like, obviously I'm fighting a tall guy. Diego's tall, lanky, so it would have been cool to kind of get that other perspective as someone that you don't really train with. Like, I have no ego when it comes to training, man. If I get beat up by somebody, I tell you. Like, Zabit, I talk about that shit all the time, and it's not in, like, a malicious way. Like, yeah, the dude put it on me, and I had, like, no real answers for him other than the one arm, straight arm lock I almost had, and he would not tap. Like, I hyperextended his elbow. Like, I saw his elbow caving down. I'm just confused.
That's crazy.
I'm like, brother, we're just training. Yeah. Like, nah. So let me have one.
You're just training. He's
taking it for his life. He's like, I can never tap to this. Like, damn. But yeah, so other than that, I know people are going to try to take that. I'm like, Aljamain says, Diego, shut the fuck up. I'm saying this in like cheek and tongue. Like, it was fun training, but I do feel like he was kind of being a little more reserved than he probably could have been.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would think so, because his skill that he's shown.
Yeah, I'm like, nah,
son. Is very high. Yeah.
This ain't it. I know what you're capable of. I know what you can do.
This is actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what we're saying to him.
Now who we got?
Next up,
Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling.
Oh, that fight's crazy!
I legit can't wait for this one. That's the best fight of the night right there.
I legit can't wait for this one.
Can I tell you the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds, actually?
Aljo, you're actually a minus 170 favorite.
I'm a favorite now.
You are
That's a big favorite.
You started as an underdog. He's a plus 142.
I always thought we were even money.
It was even when it opened up, yeah.
It was like pretty, yeah, pretty even.
I wonder why, because they somehow...
It's definitely after that photo of me and you went viral.
I mean, I'm just focused, nerd focused, that is. That's interesting. Dude, this is a tough fight, man. I think a lot of people are thinking I'm just going to go out there and just take his ass down. I'm hoping that's what I do. Trust me, I definitely hope that's what I do. But the guy's got good range management. He's fought the best, some of the best guys at 145. I do think he's pretty hittable, but obviously my style is not to go in there and straight up box with anybody. So I'm not looking to play his game. And I think they're going to have a good game plan to try to stop the takedowns. It's not the first takedown. It's the chaining. So let's mm-hmm. see how they do when it comes to that. And I don't know if he's had anyone who's been able to chain it the way I do. And I'm going to get back to my ways of just being patient, take my time, not rush anything like I did in the last fight. Like that last fight, again, the better man won. But I felt like mentally I just was not there, and I just wanted to get out of the cage as fast as I got in there. Mm-hmm. And that's the honest truth. So take it with a grain of salt. Like, oh, you're making excuses. I'm just telling you how I felt. You could believe it. You could not believe it. Doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, I'm just speaking on my truth, and my truth was that. And I'm going to get back to what makes me and try to backpack a mofo and pack him up, send him home. And I think that would be the start of a new wave of 145.
I love it, bro. And the way you've been feeling in the training room, I've never felt you like this before. You know, you've always been a monster, but you at 45 is a whole different beast.
I feel different. Way different.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's definitely the truth.
And towards end of training camp, normally I wouldn't even be talking to nobody.
Yeah,
like,
no smiles.
Yeah, like, yo, stop asking dumbass questions.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a little
sure.
bit of that.
Jake,
that's one of the things I said about you moving to 45. That your mood is better.
Way better, bro.
Yeah, your mood is just.
Oh, you
better.
Have energy, bro. You can finally eat.
And I could talk.
Yeah, I just think also like. The difference in grappling skill, you have a lifetime of grappling at the highest level, and no matter how much Calvin trained for that, you cannot close that gap.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
So I think that's a huge difference maker in this fight.
I think you were surprising with your strength too. I think maybe people know you're strong, they're anticipating it, but I think how strong you are, I've been saying it for years, it's ridiculous. It's very impressive how strong you are.
Thank you.
Good strength, rest yourself. The remaining 20 minutes of this podcast is just be us gassing Aljo up.
Gaslight. No. I can't wait to see what the difference is going to be. I mean, I spar with a couple different 45ers now, and I feel like from before to now, I got a lot more confidence throughout the training camp. And just realizing what I do well in the gym has always been when I was big body funk and not little scrawny funk getting down to 135 like that was a phase. Once that went away, like I've been noticing that for a while. I'm like, man, I think it's gonna be time for a move up or call it quits. I'm like, because I can't get down to 135 anymore. It's just impossible.
Your body is probably begging at this point to move up a weight class.
I grew like 2 inches, bro.
Yeah,
just because like I stunted my puberty, and then now all of a sudden I started growing. It was like insane.
Wait, what do you mean you grew?
Yeah,
I thought I grew 2 inches, like, you know, my
Jake
chest,
got excited
arms,
there when you said you grew 2 inches.
Yeah. Like, really? Where?
Pause.
Where did you grow 2 inches?
Pause. No diddy.
I'm excited for this fight, man. It's a great opportunity. Big card. I don't think it gets any bigger than this, man. After this, I want to chill, go mac it a little bit, help the guys get ready for their fights. But, I mean, everyone's coming off big wins, great performances, so it's, I want to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, bro. You just have fun, and it's your time. It's really as simple as that. You know, I'll never forget when we were walking out. I was in your corner for the second Yan fight, and I was so fucking nervous, bro. I've never been that nervous for anything in my life, not even my own fights. I was like, yo, I almost wanted to tell you, like, bro, I can't walk out to this shit right now. You know, I was shaking. And then you just walked out. The music started playing. Pepas is the song, right?
Yeah, Pepas.
You were dancing and shit. I'm like, bro, Aljo got this. I knew it was over right there. Yeah. I can't listen to that song anymore, bro. I get anxiety. That's how scarred that moment got me.
But, yeah, that was a good moment. Because I knew what I knew. I was like, I'm about to show the world what's up. Because y'all think that was the real Aljamain Sterling in that last fight. I'm about to show y'all what I do.
I could feel the same thing with this one now.
Yeah. You know? I'm hoping so, man. Like, I feel it. So, I'm like, if I do half of what I did, even yesterday doing that puke drill, or even half of what I did in the sparring, the last few sparring sessions, I'm like, it should be a great night.
A great night. I agree. So, I'm riding with Aljo. I don't know about you.
Aljamain Sterling.
I'm riding with the funk. Woo.
Rear naked choke.
Rear naked choke.
Backpack.
Well, we got some
human backpack.
Actually, nah. We got.
I know we do.
Stuff. We got some tricks in the bag, you know. But we'll surprise them with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if I get a TKO.
I wouldn't be surprised either. But what, you want to go ahead and spill the beans on the podcast? Go ahead. I'm gonna spill the beans. Spill the beans.
We'll see. We'll see.
Next up, we got Jiří versus Rakic. Jiří's actually an underdog, +114.
Which is crazy.
And Alexander Rakic is a -135 favorite.
Rakic hasn't fought in a while, though.
He got injured when he fought Błachowicz.
Yeah.
But have you seen some of the work he's been putting in?
He's been looking very sharp, yeah.
With the boxing in particular, his boxing is looking incredible.
I'm looking forward to seeing
it. I mean, obviously pads and all this stuff, but he just looks major sharp. Yeah. His footwork is looking great. He's on balance like never before. He definitely wasn't like this before the injury. Because when he got injured, he made the right decision. I'm not going to have my legs for a little bit. Let me work my ass off with the hands. And now his hands have been looking great. Dope. So looking forward to that one, actually.
That's going to be a sick fight.
Go stalk his Instagram a little bit.
Do it, bro.
Yeah, he's been looking good. Yeah, I've seen those videos, good. But then again, Jiří is so unorthodox, bro. How can you technically fight this guy?
The guy's unpredictable.
Yeah.
He I don't even know how to describe him. The randomness that he does. Did you see him hitting the bag?
No, I haven't.
Dude, he warmed up to us next to us in MSG. Yeah, that was something I never seen before. He's like sitting there like this, praying or meditating. That's cool. Something we've all done, I guess, at one point.
That's cool.
But then they start doing power work, so he's working that straight that he does. Cool, okay. Then he just stands there like this, hands down in front of his coach, his coach is smacking him on the head with the pad, and he's going like this. He's taking it on the forehead, and he's like, come on, more, and like this for like a good 10-15 minutes.
That's fast.
You remember this? Were you next to me?
I didn't see that.
Oh, but you, Jake literally has he put the moment where Jiří came up to us and said, what up? He's a super cool guy, by the way.
Yeah, you see.
That was awesome. Just something I don't think anybody's ever seen.
That's him hitting the bag. That Aljo
was
talking about.
This is the one I was talking about. It's fascinating.
Bro, but it works for him.
He's such an interesting dude, though.
No, very interesting.
Very interesting mentality.
I'm not going to tell that guy that's wrong.
Yeah, but how can you, you know?
He's a former world champion we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know who we were saying this with the other day, but there is no blueprint. Yeah, there's no blueprint. There's no blueprint.
So Salman trained Jiří for a while. And then, you know, Jiří comes in, like, Salman's explaining it to us. He's like fucking drawing the sword here, backhand, you know, busting guys' noses up. And then he's like, yo, how the hell am I going to tell this guy this is wrong? You know, I'm going to have him here like a high guard, walk a guy down, like, do it in the sparring, bro. You know? And he did it in the sparring. And he's like, yo, how am I going to tell you you're wrong, you know? He's like, he'll fucking sit there, draw the sword, kyai! Fucking bust the guy's nose up with a backhand, you know?
I think that's hilarious, bro.
That is so funny. Like, visually trying to just envision Jiří just walking into the gym, sparring, and just some random guy just gets the backhand of death. Just like, yo.
All I'm going to say is guys like Jiří are amazing for the sport.
Yeah.
The more we have of those kind of guys, the more interesting the sport is. I think good fighters are good fighters, champions, whatever. But I think interesting characters like him are definitely him. Yeah. MVP. Like, I loved every second of MVP. It was not a boring fight to me by any means.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
No, but yo, remember his walkout? His walkout, he just starts breakdancing, and then he, what was it, the Undertaker beat? Boom.
Oh, MVP.
And he goes, boom. and he's walking. He looks at a fan. He goes, boom.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that fan Showman is going to remember that forever. Yeah.
He made eye contact with me. He said, boom.
Oh, man. I don't even know who I got in that one. Yeah. This is some good fights all around. Let's go to the main, no?
Main card?
Yeah. All these fights are so good. This podcast is going to be ridiculously long if we break down all of them.
So we're at the main card now.
Yeah. Oh, we got the fight of the night, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage.
Bro, UFC 300 is a week away. Less. 6 days.
This is a week, yeah.
I just realized.
This is the biggest fight on the card.
Bo Nickel's a -2400 favorite.
I think anyone to be a favorite in MMA that much is just insane. You got to put money on the other guy just for the sake of
just throw putting a money on him.
Who's he fighting? I'm sorry.
Cody Brundage.
Bro, I don't know, man. -2400?
That's insane, bro.
This is the highlight of the main card right here.
Yeah. The fact that he's on the main card over all these champions is, like, kind of disrespectful. It is disrespectful.
Yo, I actually...
Well, the UFC said that he draws crazy.
I mean, respect to him, bro.
So
like,
I get it. You know. But it's just like, bro, you got two fights in the UFC.
What's his fan? Where's he drawing from? Just everybody, or is it a wrestling community thing? I know wrestlers get down. Like, wrestlers come with these fan bases that are in the millions.
But it's
not
just wrestling; it's Penn State wrestling, which is like a conglomerate.
I mean, is that a higher accolade than a UFC champ? You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, it's not. But in the terms of star power, like. When people watch D1s, it's such a big spectacle. Like, people love D1s. Like, the numbers that they do for D1 wrestling is, like, the biggest. When you go to, like, these Penn State home matches, they're filled out. Like, the stands are filled out, packed out with fans.
That's what I'm always seeing. And March Madness is a crazy thing across the whole country.
So, I get it. It's just kind of like, well, it shows where the UFC is at. It's just strictly business, bro. It doesn't matter about anything else.
But yo, like, respect to Bo, though.
I got this guy over.
Yeah.
Cody Brundage is 2-3 in his last five.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he is a draw. He's a star. But I feel like
Brundage,
the
right?
UFC. No.
nah, I was fucking with you. But I'm not a draw guy. I'm not.
I think the UFC does, when they want you to be a bigger star than you are, they're just simply going to put you in those positions. Even if you're not there yet.
Of course.
I kind of felt that with O'Malley, too. They were, like, huge draw. But he wasn't yet. But now he's a bigger draw for sure. Now he's a bigger draw for sure after the last few wins.
But, yo, respect to Bo for, you know, two fights, three fights in the UFC, and then being on the biggest card pay-per-view,
in
you know?
History,
like,
right?
I mean, who would accept that position?
No, I'm not saying that, but, like, just... God bless him for what he's done, you know?
Yeah.
To be in that position. So I'm not trying to say like I'm hating or anything, but...
Nah, I think it's crazy that he's ahead of Aljo on the card.
I completely agree, bro.
I would have been okay with Prochaska and Jiří on the card. Prochaska and Rakic on the card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, again, I'm not... Nothing against Bo. Like, yeah. I get the money business aspect of it, so that makes sense. It draws for them, so they're going to get more people to buy pay-per-views. Okay, you put the bigger draw on. But in terms of sport, this is the only thing I say is like it just takes away from what this sport actually is. Like the merit of it,
yes,
it's not really as important because you can just go out there and be a clown, not Bo. But anyone can just go out there and be a clown. If you have something decent that they can sell, you're probably going to leapfrog a couple of people.
Yeah.
It's becoming like this viral market, like this social, like this, what's the right way to say it without...
The shock value.
Yeah, it's like this, it's becoming this thing where... Even the guests that they bring out and then the placement of those certain guests, it's to create that drama on like on social media, like screenshots and these moments. So they've been like focused more on that and then and sacrificing the righteousness of the fight game itself for that. I think that's been slightly the or a big portion of it has been the exchange in the sport.
I mean, that's up to us to play the game though too.
And I'm okay with it. It forces us to evolve. We gotta adapt, or we're gonna sit and complain.
Just complain.
Let's adapt. And let's get this money. Let's go.
Let's get this money, my boy.
We stars too. We stars out here too. Let's go.
Like, Bo, get your money. I hope he's getting a part of that pay per view cut. Cause here's my thing: you gonna make me fight later in the night and then not give me pay per view points, and I'm the one that's bringing the crowd. So if I'm Bo, you might only have two fights in the UFC, but they know what they're doing. So I hope that it's obviously it's never going to be a mutually agreed upon thing where the UFC gives you more or it's going to be a completely fair shake, but you could try to get a little bit of love, yeah, a little bit of extra grease on the wheels, for sure, just to make sure you're happy to help be a business partner with them as well. And that's the name of the game, you know? You're never going to get the most out of it where you're the A side on the UFC card. It's just not happening.
Right.
In terms of the business part. So.
Well, yeah, good business is a partnership that benefits both parties.
Yeah.
Both sides, you know, but business is business, you know.
Yeah, benefits the other side.
Good,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then there's good business. Profit. There's good, yeah, profit. Good profit. It's a little bit of a different
look, I get the UFC, you know, so they got to make their money, of course, and
you just cough right into the mic.
No.
Yeah. Yo, bro, Jay. Go blow your nose, bro. Go blow your nose.
Jake and went like this. Get off my head.
I can't handle this, man.
This is unprofessional.
Unprofessionalism at its lowest.
If I shit on your pillow, is that unprofessional?
Wow. That's
right, like, now?
Wow.
You are taking those pills and you're sleeping on them for the next week.
You might. That might be. That's an all-time low right there.
I mean, I have to, you know. Right now, so it's like I could do it on your pillow.
Yeah, they're going straight on your head.
You might have to sleep outside after that.
You guys make a prediction or what?
Who are you even talking
my
about?
My prediction is I'm gonna kick Jake out right now.
This is a big upset. I can feel it in the air. No, I'm joking. I think this is a coming out party in a very big way for Bo Nickel. The guy is a stoic as it gets, savage, very dialed in, very technical. Of course, it's a fight, anything could happen. But I think this is his fight to lose with some crazy shit. But I think he's going to go out there and dominate first round. I think all his fights have been first round finishes.
I don't think this is any different.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They have been.
Not a crazy step up in competition. I think just a slight increase in the right one. So I think he gets it done first round again. He looks like the star that he's shaping up to be.
How do you feel if you're Cody Brundage, knowing that you're the sacrificial lamb? Like, you know how tight that would get me?
Yeah, of course.
Like, nah, I'm moving heaven and earth to make sure that I show everybody what's up. Or at least show my teeth, you know?
So that's on him to think that way, though, because some guys, you don't know what's going through their head. Some guys are like, damn, this is a great payday. I don't care about nothing else. So,
I don't even think he's getting paid more, bro. I think his contract is his contract, no?
Yeah, his contract is his contract. Yeah.
Well,
Cody Brundage ain't getting paid more.
I understand, but I'm just saying in general, like whatever that contract may be, maybe he needs that money or something. He doesn't care about the result or something, or he doesn't care about what the UFC thinks of this matchup. Or he could take this fuel and add it to the fire.
That's the beauty of this game, bro. There's always that X factor.
Yeah. It's on you. Whatever your mentality is, that's on you.
I'm going to go with Bo, you know.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Bo.
No offense to Cody, but it's just Bo is just a phenom.
Cody, I'm just saying, don't get ran through. Pause.
No, Diddy.
Yeah, this is a New York podcast today for sure.
I don't really want to see the one-sided affair, you know, so I would hope to see Cody at least make it to the second round, make it interesting for the fans.
Land the jab.
Land a jab. Maybe a calf kick or two. Like, show something. It's like the 300 movie where it's like, I just want to show that a God King can bleed. You know?
Yeah.
You got to have some of that inside of you for you to kind of go out there and perform. So it's going to be an interesting one, but this is more like how fast can Bo Nickel get it done versus, all right, does Cody have a chance? It's kind of like that. And for me, I think Bo Nickel takes it. Respect to you.
Respectfully, Brothers. Yeah, of course. Jake?
We got Charles versus Armin.
Oh, man. This is a sick fight.
Sick.
I'm probably more excited for this fight, like, than, honestly, after Aljo's.
It's definitely
the champion has a name.
Yo. Yeah, this is definitely one of the best. This is definitely one of the best fights of the card, for sure. Yeah, the stylistic matchup and the youth versus the thing we were talking about, youth versus the old dogs. The
prospect. I got to go with my boy Charlie Olives.
You got to go with Charlie Olives?
I love Oliveira.
Who you got?
Yeah, I banged with Armand even after he was disrespectful because I fought his boy, Jan. But I'm going with my guy, Charlie Olives, as well.
I think Armand wins because stylistically and youthfully, that's on his side.
He lost to Gamrot in a close fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Oliveira has the jiu-jitsu aspect of that, which, you know, I said that about the Islam fight, but something about that fight still... To this day, I'm gonna die on this hill. I just felt like that was not the best Oliveira that we've ever seen.
100%. 100%.
I think even Islam in his own right could go like, he might have thought like that fight would have been harder than what he was received in that fight. But with respect to that, I think Oliveira overall has a, I think, a more dangerous skill set.
I agree.
That's just what I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a finisher, bro, and he can crack. You know, he's dangerous in every area of the game.
Armin
and
did look good in his last one. He, what, he landed that hook, right cross, right hook?
Yeah. No, he yeah, hit the yeah, knee, to, knee the right to the right hook. Yeah.
So,
Benil Dariush.
On Benil, yeah. Yeah, like, man. First exchange.
How about Benil, man? Damn.
Ah, man, I love
my thing guy. Is,
so they shit on him, so he never got his title shot.
It's messed up, man. It's a brutal game.
Islam versus Armin.
That was a great
fight. They showed
amazing.
A very similar skill set, and that was then.
Yes.
Now, that skill set that Islam used to beat Oliveira with, I'm kind of doing MMA math.
Yeah.
But, and that's not good to do in this game, but I think because of the youth, I think because of the momentum, I think it favors
and
Armin. He hasn't taken any damage recently, and Oliveira is getting cut 10 days before every fight. So I just think little things like that add up to Armin having the nod, in my opinion.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's going to be a sick fight. It's a sick fight.
That makes sense.
The odds are actually in Armin's favor. He's a minus 218 favorite. Wow.
So the minus 218 thing is crazy. Put some respect on Charles' name for sure. I just simply think Armin has that edge. You know that battle that we were saying, the BSD versus Poirier, and then the Fazia versus Gaethje, and then the old guy stay on top. I think this is one of those matchups where the young guy is going to prevail. But then again, it's these guys are the best in the world. Like Charles Oliveira, undeniably, is one of the best in the world, period.
Yeah.
One of the best of all time. So if he goes out there, starches Armin, I will not for 1 second be shocked, especially not like those odds. Those odds are shocking to me.
I could see this fight being a war, to be honest.
The champion has a name.
It's Oliveira. Dubronchi.
Dubronchi. Dubronchi. I don't know. This is going to be a good one, man. And I fuck with Oliveira, man. He got swag, bro.
Yeah.
He rocking all those big ass chains. I'm like, yeah, my boy. He's like, yeah. I saw him. I had my big ass chain on. He had all his wrist was lit up, bro. I felt like he had like 3 watches on and a bunch of gold bracelets and then a big ass piece on his neck. And then he's just smiling like, hey, with those pearly whites. He's like, hey, look at you, got a little money, don't know how to act. Look at this guy. That's my guy.
BMF title fight. Gaethje versus Holloway.
Volume versus just heavy hitting mouth. I think Max is the more technical guy, though, in my opinion. Not let me not say technical, because Gaethje is technical, but I think Max is faster. And maybe it's just that. Maybe he's just faster.
Mm.
But have you noticed how he's been fighting in recent fights? Holloway, he's not the same volume Holloway. He's more of like sharper in some ways. But he's definitely more conservative in the way
he fights.
I mean, look at the fight with Korean Zombie. Like, he moves a lot more. You guys haven't noticed the difference in Holloway's recent fights?
I always felt like he moved a lot, though. He always floats.
No. Not the floats part, but like, he's more selective. He's more selective in his shots. It's definitely a different Holloway. Because I'm a huge fan of Holloway. Like, if there's anybody that I'm a fan of in this the organization I'm in, it's definitely that guy. It's like Holloway is like my dream fight even. So the Holloway against Qatar, the Holloway against Ortega, you're telling me that's not a different Holloway compared to the last few fights?
I don't know.
I feel like he used good footwork in those fights too, though.
I don't know. I just think, I don't think he's going to be the same volume Holloway, though, against Gaethje. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. If Gaethje is going to stop him in his tracks with the power in his shots.
You think so?
Yes. I'd hope not, but that's what I see happening.
Then what about Poirier? Because he fought Poirier and they went tit for tat.
But
every match.
But remember the power difference? Like, every time Poirier almost finished him like 10 times in the first 2-3 rounds. Now, Gaethje is in some ways even more dangerous, so.
But then Poirier also outboxed Gaethje in both those fights until he got head kicked, obviously.
Dude, I'm just one of those fans that are concerned for my you know, the guy that I'm a fan of.
I feel you. I don't know. This is a good one, man. Both these guys are badasses, man. I don't know. This is a hard one to call. I think if Gaethje can get on those calf kicks early, create those car crash scenarios that he always talks about, and then you got Holloway. I think if Holloway can get on his volume early and utilize some of his kicks, because he used to do a lot of front kicks, he used to do some spinning back kicks a lot. He kind of got away from all of those and just strictly fell in love with the boxing. And I felt like that's kind of when Volk was able to kind of take over. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think the volume is going to be on his side, and I think the I don't know. That's a tough fight. They're both tough motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, ain't no. This guy's tougher than this guy. They're both tough as shit. It's gonna be a crazy ass fight.
It is gonna be. This is definitely such a BMF fight though.
Yeah.
Like I was listening to Holloway's interviews the other day leading up to this fight, and he just has such a savage mentality. Like he doesn't care about, and like he would tell me like, "Yo, screw your concern for me. I'm gonna win this fight."
Yeah.
Gangster.
I gotta watch the countdown.
There's some factors in that fight, man. I think Gaethje can slow him down with the calf kicks, with the leg kicks, get him moving less. And Gaethje does a really good job of answering back in the exchanges. So if Holloway's not out of there, picking him apart and just out, you know, stick and move, I think Gaethje can find his mark. And Gaethje's been a little bit more calculated in his recent fights too, moving more, picking his shots. Oh, man, if I would maybe lean Gaethje a little bit more just because he is naturally, or maybe I'm wrong, but as a natural 55er, I would lean a little more Gaethje.
I'm not picking nobody.
It's going to be definitely like that touch from Holloway and power from Gaethje. So Holloway's definitely going to have to use some footwork. I would say some wrestling, but he ain't shooting no takedowns.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are shooting, bro. It's just going to be a lot of blood in that fight.
It's just going to be. And they both know. They both are on the same page with it.
Yeah.
The BMF is on the line, so they're both motivated by that. They're just going to scrap. That's a guaranteed fight of the year type.
Yeah.
You guys think this one will be fight of the night?
It's very, very likely.
Yeah. I can see that.
Very likely.
I mean, who else would take it over them? I mean, yes. Maybe Yuri.
Charles and Armin,
Yuri and Rakic. This is a fucking bag of
fights. Yeah, bro. And they both got chins, Holloway and Gaethje.
The Cody one, I can see that being crazy too. Cody and
Figgy.
I can see that being nuts. I hope my fight's not crazy. Shit, I hope it is a performance of the
performance,
night.
Baby.
Get it out. Shit, watch the rest of the car. I'm like, yo, where you at, you?
Wei Li Zhang versus Yan Xiaonan.
I'm going my shorty, Zhang Wei Li. She be killing him.
Wei Li's a G.
That's it?
That's all I got.
All right, main event, Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill.
Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill.
All right, so we already know what's up with this one. Obviously, Hill's coming back from a catastrophic Achilles injury. All healed up now. I think maybe came back a little too soon from what I speculated, just looking at the timeline. But then after speaking with him, he reassured me that he was okay. And I think that's what gives me confidence in him as well, because I know how good he is, especially with striking. I got to work with him a little bit. He was showing me some stuff, albeit a lot of big man moves. I was like, yo, there's some big people shit. I can't get away with that, because I'm going to hit this motherfucker with that shit, and he's going to be standing right there looking at me like, all right, what else? You know, so... For him, he could drug somebody, and that's the fight. Sweet dreams. And then, of course, you got Pereira. Calf kicks are crazy. Two division champion now. Probably feeling so much better being 20 pounds heavier. Mm. How the heck did he make 185? It's just
insane, bro.
Dude is not a normal human, for sure. That is not a standard human.
Nah, that's a Neanderthal, for sure. He's got Amazonian blood in him, yes, for sure. Yes. Like, ain't no way. Like, he got some dense-ass bones. Like, this... Me and him is not the same.
He's a different type of human.
Oh, man. For real. Speed is on Hill's side for sure. I actually rewatched Hill versus
Walker
Teixeira.
Oh.
The other day, just to refresh my memory on some of the things Hill does in particular. And he has an amazing skill set. And his skill set is better than Pereira's.
I agree.
Overall. He's literally better than Pereira.
I agree with that, yeah.
But Pereira is that he has that thing that he always has and always will have. He's just a hammer, and he's really good at finding his mark.
He got that power.
So with Hill, Definitely got the speed advantage. I would like to see him move in and out, use the footwork. You're saying his ankle's fine. I don't think he would go into a world title fight if it wasn't. So let's just see how it unfolds. I'm leaning towards Hill on this one. I like him in this fight, and I think he gets it done.
I'm leaning towards Hill because we both got tiny ass heads for our weight classes. We both got the pea heads. I saw Hill at the Apex over the weekend. I'm like, damn, bro, you got a little ass head for 205. I'm like, I got a little ass head for bantamweight and 145. We took a picture and I was like, damn, bro, my head is tiny, bro.
Pea wow. head. You're the pea head, love.
It kind of said it to me. I'm like, Dustin, yeah, you're
Poirier's
right.
Is a pea head?
I wouldn't even have anything to say. I'm like, yeah, I got a little pea head. It's hard to hit, though.
I got Hill, I think. And he can grapple too, man. I think he can mix it up. He's a well-rounded MMA fighter. He moves really good for a big guy. And he got hands, bro. And he can fight from both stances. So I got Hill.
Dude, you know what's his interviews? Have you seen his like recent visits on podcasts, Hills? They're like, so are you gonna use wrestling? He's like, I'm not wrestling, bro. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, I don't have to wrestle. I could beat his ass on the feet. But I like that. I like that mentality. I like the headspace going in. Yeah, I like that. Even if he doesn't have to wrestle if he doesn't believe he needs to, but I feel like that would be a good path to victory for him. If he does use the wrestling.
If he wants to, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is a good one. I'm looking forward to this. Good main event. I know they were struggling to try to get a main event. Mm. Luckily, this one worked out. It would have been cool to have, obviously, John Jones versus Stipe or John Jones versus Aspinall, you know, defending against the interim champ, which makes sense. But it is what it is. But that's where we're at right now. So far, this is a good card. Hopefully everyone stays healthy, happy, weight cut, or healthy weight cut, and because it ain't happy. And see you guys soon on that, because it's coming up, man, a couple of days. Kind of crazy. We are here. I felt like April was so far away. I wanted to find that Miami card with Cater, because I was like, I'm going to go right on vacation, hang out right in Miami. And now I'm like, all right, it's cool. Now we're at UFC 300 on a crazy stack card.
It's crazy. You think about, like, it's in your head for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it feels so far away. And then when it finally comes, it's like, holy shit, this is real.
Nah, I don't feel that way anymore at all anymore, because like time is just flying.
Yeah.
Like
April already, bro.
Here I am in Baku thinking, oh wow, I gotta fight in 2 months in MSG, and now we're 3 months removed from that, and I'm like, where the hell did all this time go?
Yeah.
So,
we're here, quick, bro. Man, you gotta put those pennies in the bank. Make sure they count. They
make each day count, yeah.
We're here and we're ready.
Make each day count. Of course, you got to live your life and have some fun, man. But that's what it's all about.
So no conspiracy theories?
No, I did want to ask, even with you, Dennis, because since you're here, like I mean, obviously you're coming off of a big win, crazy finish, got the bonus. Like, how does that feel to just – I look at it from – I've lost two fights in a row in the UFC before. After getting my second contract, after having contract disputes with the UFC, trying to get more money, I finished three guys in a row. Three of them were in the top 10, and they were still trying to pay me some crazy shit. I was like, yo, this don't even make sense. How I get three finishes in a row? I'm brash. I talk shit. Mm. I'm like, I think I'm handsome. I was like, you guys are paying the Sage Northcutt motherfucker more money than me. Like, I don't understand. Why can't I at least get the equal of him who's making his debut? Whatever. I end up getting my second contract. We settled on a deal. I lost my first two fights on my deal. Back against the wall. I already knew contract disputes. You don't talk about fighter pay if you're in a bad situation, because that just doesn't end up going your way. Moment they can show you the door, thanks for coming. And I knew my last fight with Taquinho Mendez, if I lost that, my contract was up. My time with the company was up. And I was going to have to dust off my resume and get back to the teaching field for phys ed. So I can only imagine your first two fights coming in. I think Marab had a similar story. He lost his first two fights in the UFC. And now here you are. You lost your two fights in the UFC. Obviously, the last one was by stoppage. And you have to sit with that for a while, man. And then to finally get a chance to get back in there and correct. Like, I don't know. Like, how does that whole thing just felt?
Bro, I had so much. And you can relate to it. Marab can relate to it. And that's what helped me. You know, having all that pressure on your shoulders of you know, I have to win this fight or else my career is pretty much over.
Yeah.
You know, for me, if it's not UFC, it's nothing. So that's always been the goal for me. It was just so much pressure on my shoulders, bro. You know, I was battling through so much internally, you know, because you lose the first two. Like, it's like if you win one or you win a few, it's like, all right, I belong here. But then it's like you lose your first two, and especially to get finished in the first round, it's like, yo, do I belong here? You know what I mean? You start asking yourself.
It's natural.
Yeah. As a human, you know, as a competitor, you start asking yourself, like, shit, man, do I belong here? You know, am I at this level? But I just bit down on my mouthpiece, and what helped me the most was trusting really God, you know? And I just knew God's plan is always greater than ours. And in the moment, like, I lost a two, and it might not seem like best, what's best, but then I understood going forward, you know, in the things that came, that it was what's best for me and what I learned from it. And I went into the fight, you know, back against the wall, but I just felt free. You know, my biggest fear was always getting finished, especially in my hometown. And what happened at MSG was always my biggest fear. Like, every single thing that happened was my biggest fear. And I was alive after, you know, like, I didn't die. I was like, bro, you know, it sucks, but it's not like my life is over. Yeah. And that kind of freed me a little bit. I don't know if you felt that way after the Marlon fight at all.
Yeah, like, I felt like it could always be worse.
Yeah.
Like, I woke up and came to my senses in the hospital. And I looked around, and it's like that Instagram video where the guy looks at something dangerous and then he tries it and then he ends up in heaven. So it was like that. So I wake up and I look around, and I'm like, don't! It didn't work. I'm in heaven.
That's hilarious.
But that's how I felt. It's like, but then, you know, obviously joking, but then I'm like, man, perspective is like, yeah, it could always be worse. And like, thankfully, like, to blackout and not have any recollection of leaving the arena till that is scary.
Mm.
And being in some other place in Fresno, California, have no idea where the heck I'm at. It's a terrifying feeling. And then at the same time, it's just like, well, if that's the worst of it, then I've been through it. Now I guess I hit rock bottom. I could keep going up from here. So how do I kind of reshape my mentality to compete better, get better overall, and hopefully not make that mistake again?
Yeah.
You feel like you unlocked a new version of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Because I don't carry that stress anymore on my shoulders, and I was able to just let it go. And
sure, looked like it, bro.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. And of course, I made some changes in the training. You know, that doesn't need to be talked about right now, but that helped me a lot. Knowing that I went into the fight.
No,
insider jokes, guys.
What do you mean by that?
It's all a conspiracy, Joe. But
look into it.
Yeah. But going into the fight, the fact that I knew I got better gave me confidence, because I knew that the last fight, who I was in the last fight, wasn't who was going into this fight. And that gave me confidence, and I felt free. And I was just like, yo, why stress, man? What's going to happen is going to happen. I'll just go give it my best, and the result will come whether I like it or not. So just go have fun. And when I'm having fun is when I'm at my best, and I'm sure you guys both agree. And that's just going to be me going forward now.
It's good, man. I was so happy for you, man. I was like, damn, this is crazy.
So big, bro. So big.
Yeah, we're proud of you, bro.
I walked right over to you, bro. You know, I walked right over to you, and I saw you, like, reaching up, adapting.
I was about to jump
like
over the cage. Yeah. I was like, ah, get over here, motherfucker.
You were the first one I went to, bro, man. Yeah, I appreciate you guys so much. And I didn't tell you this, and I wanted to tell you this, and I'll say it here now. When you called me and you told me that, like, it was Wednesday, I remember. You were like, you know, I'm coming, I'm here for you. And I'm just, like, you told me you got my back, and you're there for me to just for me to win, and you're with me through it. That was probably the changing factor in the fight week.
Yeah.
That made me feel like, yo, bro, like, I'll fight a fucking gorilla in there. I got my boys behind me, you know, and you got my back. So, you know, and you said it good too. Like, it's like we're going to war, and you got your soldiers behind you that you trust. And that really changed everything, bro. So I really appreciate you. I'm starting to choke up a little bit, you know. But, you know, on a serious note, like, you helped me secure my future, bro, and my family's future. So, you know, I love you for that, and I'm always here for you. That's why I came right out to help you, bro. I was like, you know, I'm here for you.
I appreciate it. I was like, dude, hang out with Paula for a little bit.
He's telling me, like, bro, chill with your girl. You know, I didn't see her for, like, 5 weeks.
No.
I'm like, bro, nah, Aljo needs me right now. You know, we got time. it's about Aljo right now, and then and that's it, man. You know, we're going in this together, so just know, same thing, I got your back too, bro.
Nah, this is a big one for all of us. But nah, I think that's inspiring for a lot of people, because I think a lot of people come up short in something and they kind of just call it quits. And it's almost like that guy digging for gold. And if he just kept going just a little bit further, he would have gotten the carrot or he would have gotten the gold. But he stopped and came up and decided to turn back on his goals and his dreams. So it's a very similar thing. And I think that could resonate with a lot of people, because sometimes you just never know how close you really are to unlocking that next level or finding that thing that can help change your life and your career. So I think that's very important for people to understand that even the people around you, if you don't feel like you're getting the most support, if you support yourself and find something to kind of lean on that keeps your faith, I think those are the most important things to kind of keep you strong through the dark times, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's easier said than done.
It's definitely easier said than done, but you know, they asked me after the fight too, and there was this thing I said. It was, you know, with two things in this world, if you have patience and true belief in yourself, then you can do anything, man. You know, as long as you just keep going and believe in yourself, and with time, like, what's going to stop you, you know? Like, yeah. Robbie Lawler went to the UFC, got cut, came back, and became champ, you know? And I think it is insane, bro. So I just think, if you really believe in yourself and you have, it all boils down to believing in yourself, man. Like, truly, like, people say, like, yeah, I believe in myself, but, like, it's a weird thing to explain. It's like there's, like, a tunnel or something, you know? And, like, the words are at the beginning of the tunnel, but then when you get to the end of it, like, in your head, and you get to that destination where, like, the words you say, you really believe in it and get there, it's just, you feel it in your body, you know? When you say something and really mean it, like, it resonates in your body, you could feel it, so maybe there's people out there that can understand that, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot that don't, but that ones that get it, get it.
Yeah, and you got to be doing the work. Yeah. You got to be doing the work.
Yeah, of course. You can't cheat yourself.
Yeah. If you're not doing the work, then you can't expect to just believe and think, like, something's just going to appear out of nowhere. Like, you got to actually do the work. It's good to hear, man. Like I said, I was super excited, super pumped up. Becca was happy. She's like, I'm so glad you actually went and was there for him and everything. So that was a cool moment for me, because I know what it was like to win my first UFC fight, and I know what it was like when I was down bad and kind of starting to feel like people were looking at me a little different, and then to get the monkey off my back and then get back in the win column after coming up short and then having my job on the line. And then, of course, after losing to Marlon, it's that was a dark one, because you just don't know what that is. You don't know what happens after that. Now everyone's calling me out. I got Rob Font, Calvin Kattar's teammate, talking about he wins this fight. He said, yeah, I'd like to fight Aljamain Sterling, put him back on a stretcher. Shit like that. Like, people start talking crazy. I got to remind these motherfuckers who I am.
Who said that?
That was Rob Font, bro. Talking crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy talking.
About you?
Yeah, after I got knocked out by Marlon, that's what he said. And I was like, damn, that was... Oh, I was like, I understand you say, like, I like to beat his ass, but I was like, damn, he would like to put me back on a stretcher. I was like, bro, that's like fighting outside the cage where he's like, that's some dark shit, bro.
Yeah, he thinks he's crazy.
I'm like, you know what a stretcher is? Like, you know how that, you know what that feels like? Like, I don't remember.
Well, in our defense, their boy from Boston got dusted last week.
Yeah.
And their next boy is going to get dusted this week. Yeah, so that's it. If it's like that, they talk, if that's the words that,
if it's up,
that
you want, then it's up.
Stretcher, bro. That's crazy. He said stretcher.
He said stretcher, bro, in the post-fight interview. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Oh, this man's,
there's some gangsters in here, right? No? There's some gangsters in the sport.
I think it was Al about to fight. I forgot who Al was about to fight now. But I know, maybe it was Kevin Lee. And then he was in there. It was a card that Calvin Kattar fought Moicano and got his legs chewed up. He came in the back room and he was like, fucking calf kicks. And then Rob Font's grabbing his stuff. They like walk out after, and then Rob Font's in there. And I was like, I said something to him. I forgot exactly what I said, but I called him out. I was like, I heard you talking shit or whatever. And then he was like, he turned around and did that thing that Rob Font does. Where he's like, so you know what to do. So, you know, when you know, the next fight, you know what to do. I'm just like, I want to fuck you up right now, bro. I want to just scrap.
I didn't know all this.
I didn't know this either.
It was Al's moment, And the ratchet side of me was just like, yo, just be ghetto right now, bro. It's okay. It's just you two in the locker room. Like, at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to press charges. Like, we just fight in the back room. Nobody's going to say anything. But then I was like, you know what? This would be a terrible look. So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna humble myself and be like, yo, it's not about me right now. So
damn, my stretcher is crazy, bro. That's still,
nah, it is crazy, bro. That actually hurt me. I was like,
I can't wrap my head. I can't wrap my head around that, bro. It's crazy.
I can't believe you just said that.
Stretcher is crazy, bro.
That is crazy. There's
people, you know, like, you don't have to be a gangster to fight. Like, you don't have to act more gangster than you really are, bro. You're a family man. Come fight. You're an athlete. Don't be. I hate this gangster to put in a stretcher, kill, die.
Like, shoot, yeah, I'm gonna put him in a morgue.
Get out of here. With my, that, bro.
Let me start talking like that then. Like, bro, I, yeah, like this is just what it, yeah, it is. What it is,
gonna,
right?
What are you gonna do? Realistically speaking, what you gonna sign? You gonna get paid a bunch of money to fight me? Type of shit. You know, like, what are you gonna do, bro?
Yeah.
Put him in a stretcher, but get out of here. Yeah, there's like that. That kind of stuff bothers me, dude. Yeah. This kind of talk towards each other when athletes are taking it there is not it.
I'm like, so you saying I should get you before you get me?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, if you're talking like that, yeah. that's out of fighting.
If
realm,
you're trying,
you know,
to put me in a stretcher, then there's no rules no more.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
then I could
about?
Just run up on you in the parking lot or something, yeah, and hit you over the head with some shit.
Yeah,
if there's no rules.
I'm like, all right, let's see who has a bit of stretcher first. It's like, what?
Fuck out of here, bro.
There's a lot of wannabe gangsters in this sport, I think, you know. There's a lot of wannabe gangsters, but they don't realize there's real gangsters out there.
Yeah, and just so people know, like, we actually did hang out afterwards at Heather's house, like, indirectly, because I didn't know they were going to be there or whatever. Maybe I did know, but it was like, I think she might have asked me or I didn't know, whatever. But it ended up being cordial. He was fighting Jose Aldo, so I was like, you know what? We're in different lanes. I was doing my thing, obviously, at the time, and then he was, like, trying to build himself up. So it was kind of like the guy who was making fun of me for being sent to the Shadow Realms, now he was the one on the losing end of the stick and trying to work his way back up. And it was nice to see a little humble pie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. It's a little annoying because his girl, wife, whatever, she's really cool, really nice. And then I was like, but then it's just you. it's just Rob. Why do you gotta be like this? Like, we could have banter. We could, like, me and Chio, we talk shit to each other, but it's never been anything like that. He says stupid little kid jokes like, oh, he's a loser, he just wants attention. I'm like, you talked about a guy having hair gel affecting you and you never even grappled. Like, who wants attention, brother? What are you even talking about? But whatever. That's a whole nother thing. Like, I'm all for banter. I'm all for trash talk. But there's, like, certain things where you say some certain stuff is just like, what do you mean by that? Just let me know what you mean by
it
that.
It doesn't even excite. Who's that really going to excite, you know? It doesn't even excite anybody at this point. It's like, all right, well, that means you want to kill me. You want
to
kill me?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, all right, you trying to put me in a stretcher? Like, what are you talking about right now?
What are you talking about? If you say I want to fight you, I'll beat your ass. That's one thing.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, facts. Aljo, he got fucking knocked down his last fight, bro. Let me get it going. Let me. But Stretcher is crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I can knock his ass out again. I'm like,
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
cool,
yeah,
fair play.
So say that, bro. Stretcher. The streets,
I was just
this,
like,
that.
You don't put me on a stretcher.
Get out of here, bro.
You don't put me on a stretcher. Okay.
Dummies.
But speaking of higher power and stuff, man, I know we were talking a little bit about flat earth again.
Jake's blood's boiling right now.
The curlies. Yo, we were watching something, this 5-hour documentary.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it. I'm like 2 hours in now. And some of the stuff they talk about is so crazy. The one thing that blows my mind is who actually built these crazy, what do you even call it? These monuments, these crazy buildings, the architecture from back then. Like, the people on the horses and the carts, they weren't even power tools at those times. When the guy was pointing out in the video, I'm like, I never even thought about that. How the hell did they do that?
You want to give context, though, to what you're talking about? Like,
okay.
Explain the video.
I am. I thought I was giving context.
No, like, explain the video that you're referencing.
So, I mean, the video is called The Lies About Flat Earth.
The Lost History of Flat Earth.
Yeah.
And it's a 5-hour documentary or video. I don't know if I could legitimately call it a documentary. But he brings up a lot of interesting and valid points. And I'm not saying he's...
With proof and with pictures and... Okay, let's say the pictures can be fake, but there's a science aspect to it and a mathematical aspect to certain things. So there's actual stuff that you can't make up. So, because people say flat earth, like you're saying it right now, you know, the viewers might think, oh, flat earth, here we go with this shit, you know, the regular, but there's actual proof, there's actual like context in all of it, and it's all broken down step by step. And long story short, we are not the only ones here, or we were not the first super, what are we considered, super intelligent? I'm not that intelligent. What do we consider, like, human intelligence? There was something here before us, building all these things that it was impossible to build at the time. A settlement of like 10,000 people, but they're building a city for like 50,000 people.
Yeah, it's crazy. 100,000
people.
It don't make no sense. I mean, it's just fascinating. I enjoyed watching it because it's just a lot to learn and take in. But when he's pointing out all these little tiny details, like the pictures from this time, there's no one in the pictures, and then now all of a sudden there's pictures with everyone in it, or not everyone, but a lot of people in it. And then you got the parliament, you got the thing over in Ottawa, all these different major buildings and platforms and stuff like that that we can't really replicate today, or we can now probably replicate it today with the intelligence that we have. But how did people back then replicate any of this stuff? Like, when he breaks it down, he points out the small, minute details of how everything is exact symmetrical order, and from a geometry standpoint, it's mind-blowing.
It's a very long video, so like even us breaking it down a little bit doesn't know justice. It's a 5-hour movie, so you can imagine how much information, and it's just like back to back to back talking points and proof and math and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing.
I took notes for the first 2 hours.
I mean, let's get the title for everybody. Let's get the exact title. People are gonna want to search this up.
The Lost History of a Flat Earth.
The Lost History of a Flat Earth.
Yeah.
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 And they were saying like the Saint Cathedral began in 1555 to 1561 in the 18th century. They had a restoration. They bent metal to perfection. But he's saying like, how could they have done that when the roads were piss poor?
Yeah, dirt conditions roads.
Like they were dirt mud roads.
Yep.
So it's like, you guys have all these things and you built that, but your roads look like this.
Yes.
And when you think about it, you're like, that actually makes sense. I mean, you're like, no, maybe they just didn't. They just spent all their time on this. But it's just like, you're telling me these people who had no time to do anything else had all the time in the world to sculpt out all these perfectly aligned,
yes, symmetrical,
like,
monuments.
Like, there's no hospital in this settlement yet, but yet they're building this thing that's like incredible.
Dwarfs people.
Yeah.
It's so insane.
For sure, yeah.
Even the pyramids of Giza, like, we do not even have the technology today to replicate and create what they created. And mind you, the rock, I forget what exactly it was. I don't know if it was limestone or quarry. But they got that from 800 kilometers away. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of tons of rock that they brought over to this area in ancient Egypt and created these pyramids that perfectly aligned down to the millimeter with the constellations. And then, mind you, also, there's also pyramids all over the world.
Yeah.
So it's one like, thing where's to, the connection?
It's one thing to believe and not believe certain things, but there's certain things that it's clear as day. Like, why hasn't anybody asked this question? Like, this is clear. So that back to that movie, it's not something like you believe or don't believe in. It's something that explains to you what it is with math, with science, with everything.
And at least it's thought evoking, where it's making you think about certain stuff that we never really paid attention to, because it's just like they said this and this date. It's just like, oh, okay, well, they must have did it somehow. Well, but how, when you actually sit there and break it down and think about it and you look at the time period and you're like, well, they didn't even have power tools till, I forget exactly what it said in my thing, the
1816 maybe?
Something like that, the first power tool. And that power tool looked like straight up trash, bro. This is like old and like, you know, the old block computers, how they had those massive computers? It was like that. But it's just like, well, clearly there was something else that was here and is possibly inherited. Yo, can you pass me my tinfoil hat?
You got one for real?
Nah.
I was about to say, where's mine?
But all I know is this, like, regardless of whether that video was true or the next video or whatever, whether it's true or not true, I think we all have space to ask questions and think that we were not the only ones here.
Yeah.
No matter how you put it. We can't know everything.
We can't know
everything.
We don't know
everything. We don't know what's... We don't know certain things. Like, we don't know everything. Not all bodies of water are discovered on Earth. Like, we didn't discover every part of the ocean. How the hell are we going to know, like, all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I definitely want to watch the rest of it before we go like full tinfoil hat.
It gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm excited to finish it. But there's also for those who know about it. We're not even
halfway done, bro.
Yeah, we're almost halfway, yeah. But for the people who know what I'm referring to, the Book of Enoch, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lost book of the Bible, and it actually explains that there was humans on Earth, and then God had sent these watchers, these angels, to watch us and guide us and protect us. And then these angels, I think they call them like, regular people now call them like Anunnaki or Nephilim.
There's a movie on this, no? Isn't there a Book of Eli movie? Book of Eli?
I don't think it's the same.
No, I'm trying.
That's probably what you're thinking of.
Yeah, I'm thinking Book of Eli. I thought there was a movie, Book of Enoch, but it's Book of Eli.
Like the way we're watching this movie documentary, there is also on the Book of Enoch, but it was like a lost book of the Bible, which isn't canon. It's not canonized. They took it out. For whatever reason, they say it wasn't like inspired by God. They don't know like where the author came from, so they couldn't verify it. But mostly what it is the gist of it is that these angels taught us how to extract metals from the dirt, taught us math, taught us astrology, taught us, taught the woman how to wear makeup. And then these beings fell into lust with human women because they were beautiful and then started to procreate, and that's what those giants, the giants that they talk about, became the children between human women and these angels. And then God had punished them, and then the people after started to become so rebellious and evil, kind of like we are today as humans. And then God sent a great flood, to which was Enoch's grandson, Noah. Mm-hmm. And he warned Noah of it. And supposedly Enoch went up to heaven and saw like the levels of heaven and the constellations and like how God has like the sun and the moon in perfect orbit. Like everything is ordered by God. And the stars operate as they're supposed to, the sun and the moon, the waters, the rain. Like nothing is by accident.
And the amount of stuff we've been lied to about, like I just leave room for, you know, anything being possible.
Yeah.
You know? Anything.
Truth is stranger than fiction too, bro. You know, like, God is the greatest author. We can't make these things up.
History, Tariel said this, this quote, history is a bunch of lies agreed upon.
That, I can agree with that.
The education system only was created in 1913. Like, there was education, like, people learned before 19, but the education system only appeared in 1913. Yet we have this stuff that was built like hundreds of years ago before like there was even cities. It's crazy.
It is crazy, man.
It's all cap, bro. Everything is an illusion. It's all cap. It's all a lie. All of it. Every single one of it. It's all a lie.
How would you like your cappuccino today, Nassim?
I would like my cappuccino with a little bit of extra milk. I'm feeling milky today. You know what I mean?
So here's the crazy thing about the eclipse now.
I was just about to talk about it because Becca just sent me a picture. So it's at, it's, she said it's going to happen at 11:20 a.m. tomorrow.
In our time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So eclipse over Las Vegas at 11:20 a.m.
Because it is our time.
Technically our time.
It's
our time. Yeah, it is our time.
It's our time.
Yeah, it is. It's our time.
You got some last minute tips for us. So we need sunglasses for this?
I mean, we can't stare directly at the sun or we'll get blind.
That's what they say. So
you just keep your bedside shades on.
So hear this. Kelvin was telling me, my brother was telling me that he's getting better at keeping his eyes open for longer, staring directly at the sun. And I was just like,
that's pretty crazy, bro. Why do I feel like Kelvin would say that?
Yo, imagine to him, bro. God forbid he goes blind. He's like, yo, nah, nothing bothers me.
But when he was saying this, I was just looking at him. I was listening to him. I was like, bro, you know, they say we're not supposed to do that. He was like, yeah, but I feel like I'm have a better connection and like things feel better. And I'm like, but yo, you know, they say we could go blind from this. He's like, yeah, I know. But I'm like, so why would you even try to test this theory? I'm like, let's just say it's true or not true. But the fact that you're even putting yourself in a position to try it to say, like, yeah, I can hold my eye. Like, nah, dog, you're wilding.
See, but that's a man that agrees with us when we say question everything. He's like, yo, I don't know about this, not looking at the sun shit.
I respect him. I respect
him. He's bleeding out the eyes. Like, I don't know about this, not looking at the sun shit.
I respect that, actually.
Close your eyes, bro.
He's onto something. I'm telling you, he's onto something. Something
weird. He might have cracked the code.
He might have cracked something, bro. He might, I don't know, but I mean, staying at the sun is wild.
When we got off the phone, I did try it, and I was just like, Nah, that's crazy.
I used to do it as a kid, like try it, but it's too much, bro.
That shit hurts, bro.
We're not meant to. But the thing with the eclipse, I'm gonna get deep into this real quick. So in the Bible, they asked Jesus, like, when will we know it's like the end of times and everything? And Jesus told them, he said, there's gonna be a wicked generation who's going to ask from signs of God, from God, but none will be given to them except the sign of Jonah. Now, Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament who was in the town of Nineveh. And his purpose was, God told him, like, you have to tell the people to repent. They have to repent to God because they're sinning, they're evil, and they've turned away from God. So as he was trying to, there was an eclipse over the town of Nineveh, and he became scared and he fled. And the warning was that they have to repent because judgment will be cast upon them. So now the thing with this eclipse is, this eclipse passes over, like, I think it was 8 or 13 towns in America called Nineveh. So that's like the apocalyptic relationship between the two.
It's actually crazy. That's wild.
It is crazy to think about. So I'm not saying that it's the end of days. But then you got the thing with Israel, and it says in the Bible also, like, all nations will rise against Israel. And that's kind of what's happening now, too. So it's just a lot of scary things. And you got earthquake in New York. You had a huge earthquake in Taiwan. Even though there's earthquakes all the time. But an earthquake in New York is like kind of pretty fucking crazy.
So this is
deep.
It
hardly happens.
This is very, very deep. But it is possible that the government is playing to our religions. If you guys ever heard of Project Bluebeam, that is a whole nother ballgame on its own.
Yeah,
man.
With the aliens, the fake invasion and everything.
The 8-dimension holographics where they're going to actually fake certain things in the sky with audio and everything, mm-hmm. like Jesus coming or whatever it may be. Of course, I myself, as a Muslim, I have my beliefs. But I'm just saying, don't leave anything out.
Yeah.
And I think that that's possible as well, that the government playing to people. Like, earthquake here, earthquake there. Oh, wow, it says it here in the mm-hmm. Bible. So I do believe that part of it could be manipulation from, yo, are we gonna get like abducted after this by CIA or something?
Shit, we might. Shit. It's a crazy movie.
So I got my stun. As long as I go down with my stunner shades, I'm cool.
Yeah, what's that weird movie
like
we
if
watch?
We get taken in like
Leave
this
the world
I'm cool
behind
with that.
No, with Jonah Hill.
Oh, this is the end. This
that
the
movie end. Was sick.
And at the yeah. end, he's like, oh, I'm going to heaven, fuck you, motherfucker. Yeah. And then he gets dropped. He's like,
ah! What the fuck happened?
Yo, these idiots know too much. Just take them in.
Yeah. that was probably the funniest scene that they, I think he thought he was gone. I was like, oh, he made it. Yeah. And then he started being an asshole. I was like, yeah. God said, nope. Take your ass back down there with those rebels.
That movie was a vibe.
That movie was just
nah, that movie
bro.
Was mad gay, bro. There was so much gay stuff in that scene. It was like uncomfortable how much.
It was pretty gay, especially when like, and that was Jake's favorite scene. Of course, the gayest part where the demon like rapes Jonah. Of course, it was Jake's
Jake was
favorite
like, wait,
scene.
Rewind it real quick.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, look
He's
at
like,
that
yo,
shadow.
You see the size
whoa,
of that?
Run that back.
Can you confirm, Jake? Can you confirm or deny these allegations?
I think I might have said it's the funniest scene.
Yeah. I definitely want to go watch that documentary. I got to eat again.
Yeah,
I'm on this crazy
eat.
Diet right now. Well, I was 63.4 this morning. Oh, I got to do 30-minute heat acclimation.
Today?
Yeah. So he told me to just do a hot tub.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm thinking maybe I should just go to Marab's house or go to EOS.
If you go to EOS, I'm probably going to go with you. I'm going to go work out.
Okay. I'm thinking that might be the move. Go there, get in the hot tub, and just wait. Kill time. And then come back, eat. Because he told me not to water load today, which I'm kind of confused by.
I started mine...
Monday?
Sunday.
That's what I thought. I asked him.
Oh, today is Sunday, yeah.
What kind of water load do you guys do?
I do like a gallon, only a gallon. I can't drink more than that.
Really?
Yeah, I try, bro. And I struggle.
Yeah, I was doing two, but two is hard.
Dude, two is crazy.
No,
yeah,
I do one just to for my body to start dumping, and then I do 2-2-2, and then cut. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the UFC protocol.
Two gallons? You do 2 gallons?
Yeah, 2-2-2.
Damn.
Yeah, I do 3 days in a row too.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, but that, but dude, I don't know when the weight comes off like magic.
Yeah, fly. Yeah,
it really, I just feel sick.
I feel water. You, but I don't know. Add meal to the water. Add flavor to the waters. Whatever. Have it with your food. The little bit of food you have. I don't know.
Maybe some flavor.
I down like a gallon, like uncomfortably, like not wanting that much water. But I down a gallon, like literally within the first 2-3 hours of waking up. And then the other gallon, I like spread throughout the whole day, in between trainings, in between food, with food, after food. So like that's how I get my 2 gallons in.
I'm only like 32 ounces in.
And you're already 60 something. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. 32 ounces, fuck. But it's not 32 ounces of Nerd Focus.
Nah.
No commercial.
I think that's good, man. I think we can wrap with that. We got a minute, an hour and 40.
Oh, nice.
It's long.
Pause. Talked about some good stuff.
Dennis Bazooka and the great Nazeem Siddiqui.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, drop a comment. Follow these guys on their social channels. Dennis at Dennis Bazooka.
Yeah.
Naz nice at Naseem.
Naz underscore MMA on Instagram.
Ah.
Nice.
Thank you for having us, Aljo. It's a pleasure.
Thank you guys for joining in. We'll see you guys next time. We'll have more tinfoil hats for everybody out there so you all could be in a little teepee together. All right. Thank you, guys. See you. UFC 300. Let's go.